And today's daf is Bamatzia daf Kuf Aleph. We left off in daf Kuf Amud Beis. We are at the very first wide line in daf Kuf Amud Beis at the two dots. So we're first going to discuss again whether our Mishnah follows the Shita of Sumchus, that Maman Amutal B'Safek Cholkin, and then when we get to the next Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about who owns the olives when a tree belongs to one person and the land belongs to another person. I sold you my tree in my field, but I sold you the tree for the wood, so you're supposed to use it for the firewood, and then you leave it there for a little while, and it now grows olives. So do those olives belong to the person who owns the tree, who owns the wood, or do those olives belong to the person who owns the field? And to what extent can each person tell the other, I would like to, can the owner of the field tell the owner of the tree, get your tree out of my field? And the Gemara is going to discuss, if a river uproots a tree and plants it somewhere else, how do you cheshbin the years of Arla when it comes to that? The first 3 years, any fruits that grow in a tree are asr ba'ana, they have a din of Arla, but what if it gets uprooted and replanted somewhere else? The Gemara is also going to discuss parenthetically, it's going to come up whether yesh kinyan lenachri be'eretz Yisrael lafkia mi'maisros. Does a guy have a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael to be mafkia the chiyuv of maisros? And then we're going to talk about if someone is yorid the tochstei chavero and is not a shalob rishos, someone goes into someone else's property and he plants there shalob rishos. So to what extent do the improvements that he made in the land belong to him, and to what extent does he get to be compensated for the improvements that he made in the land when he's yorid the tochstei shel chavero? Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about the relationship between a maskir and a socher, and specifically, when can a maskir throw a socher out? I'm renting you a house, so at what point can I say, you know what, I decided that you can no longer rent the house, that you have to leave? How much warning do you have to be given? At what point can a maskir say that the period of the schirus is over? And the Mishnah distinguishes between Yemos HaChama and Yemos HaGeshamim. So the Gemara is going to work on why it is that there's a distinction between Yemos HaChama and Yemos HaGeshamim, and then we're going to come up with a variety of situations where the maskir can throw him out even without any warning. Something happens, let's say, to the maskir. The maskir's own house falls down. Something of that nature. And then the Mishnah at the very end of the daf, if we get to it, is going to talk about what a maskir is chayv to provide a socher with. I'm renting you a house. What's expected to come in the house? Is the house supposed to come with an oven, a refrigerator? Right? What exactly are you expecting to come with the house when I rent the house to you? So let's begin at the first wide line, Daf Kuf Amud Beis. Ze Omer Eni Yodea, Ze Omer Eni Yodea, Yachloku. So the Mishnah said that if both people have a Tainas Shema, both of them say that it was a Machlef Parah B'Chamar and it gave birth, and they don't know whether it gave birth before the Mechira or after the Mechira, and neither of them know, so then the Mishnah says halacha is yachloku. Says Gemara, hamani sumchusi. This seems to follow like sumchus. Da amar mamna mutu b'safek cholkin. Because sumchus is the one who says that whenever you have a safek, whenever you have a mamna mutu b'safek, they split it. So says Gemara, ema seifa. But the end of that brisa, how could you say the brisa is following sumchus? The very end of the brisa says ze omer b'rishusi v'ze omer b'rishusi. If both people have a tainas bari, they're both sure that the baby was born while the animal was in their rishus. So the halach of the brisa says is yishava mocher shebrishus yolda, that the mocher should swear that it was born in his rishus, and then he gets to take the vlad. But if you hold that sumchus held mamna mutzav b'savik cholkin is true, even when both people have a tainas bari, amayishava mocher yachloku mibayi, then sumchus shouldn't say yishava mocher. Sumchus should say yachloku, because yachloku applies even when they both have a tainas bari. Why wouldn't we say yachloku? So answers the Gemara, no, the brisa might in fact be going like sumchus. Modu sumchus heichadika shvua d'oraisa. If anyway the nitva is a chiyuv shvua min haTorah, so we're not going to say mamon amutal b'savik cholkim, because since in the sefer the brisa we're talking about where the kona is tovea from the mocher a shivcha and a vlad, and the mocher is moda in the shivcha, so he's a moda b'miktsas, he's chayv shvua min haTorah, so he's nishba v'notel the entire vlad. So even though the mocher, when he's being moda, it seems like it's a halach case, Udakataliyada kidarava. No, the case is that it was kataliyada, that they cut off the hand of the shivcha, so there is no halach, because you can't just give her back because she's been ruined. So that's how Rava answered previously. So I'm going to say the same thing over here. But really, in a normal case, we would say mamna mutabasavi cholkin, but over here there's a chiyuv shvua anyway. So once there's a chiyuv shvua anyway, we're going to impose that chiyuv shvua. So now it says the new Mishnah, again discussing cases where mocher and a kona have a dispute. Hamocher zeisav la'etzim. A person sells his olive trees to be cut down to be used for firewood. Asu pachus mirvius l'sa. If they produce less than a revius of olives less than a revius of shemen of oil. Revius is a liquid measure. Less than a revius of oil for each sa'a of olives. Hare elu shalbal hazesim. Then the owner of the trees gets to keep those olives. But also revius l'sav, they produce a significant amount of oil. Then ze omer zesi gadav, ze omer artsi gadav. Each one says, oh, it should belong to me. The guy who owns the tree says, these olives grew, they grew on my trees. The guy who owns the land says, they grew because they grew in my land. Yachloku. Then the mocher and the kona have to divide the perus that grow, because they're both, it's a zevze gorim. They're both gorim, the growth of the tree. This is not a yachloku misafik, right? This is a little bit of a different kind of yachloku. Yachloku in the past was that either one guy is right, or the other guy is right, and we're not sure who's right, so we're misubak. So yachloku over here, they're both right. You can't have olives without a tree, and you can't have olives without land for the tree to grow it. So this is a different kind of yachloku. It has nothing to do with the rabbanon and simchus, and that's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, is just to point out, because one could have naturally associated this with all the other yachlokus that we've had recently. Shatav nor zeisav v'nisanam l'toch stei chaveru. Let's say a river comes and picks up your olive tree and plants it in your friend's field. Ze omer zeisi gadlu v'ze omer artsi gadla yachloku. And again, the same machlokas, except this time it's not that I sold you my tree that was in my field. It's that some sort of natural disaster happened, and the tree was uprooted and replanted in your field. So again, they're both right that the tree needed the land, and the tree and the olives needed the land. The olives needed the tree. So that's why it's going to be yachloku. Says the Gemara, hey chidami, what's the case of our Mishnah where we said that it depends on how much oil the olives are able to produce? That's going to determine whether yachloku, or whether the guy who owns the tree just gets to keep it all. Ida amalei kotz li'alter, if the owner of the land said to the owner of the tree, said to the guy he sold the tree to, I want you to cut down this tree immediately, then all the olives should go to the balakarka, regardless how much oil or how little oil the olives are able to produce. He told him to get it down immediately. He didn't get it down immediately, and that's why any olives grew at all, because he was trespassing this whole time. So of course the balakarka should be able to get all of the olives. And he dumb the kalemas to buy his coats. And if he said, take your time, whenever you're interested, you can cut it down. Then after the then even if it produces a revius for each side, even if it produces a lot of oil, it should go to the balazesim. Now the case must be that the mocher said to the kona b'stam, he didn't tell him a time that he has to cut it down, but it's expected that it's going to be within reason. So pachs mirvius, if it produces a very small amount of oil, lo kapti inshi, people are not so makbid on such a small amount, so the mocher agrees that the kona will take that amount of olives. But revius, kapti inshi, once it's already a revius, then people are more makbid, and the mocher is not going to easily be mochel to the kona. Amrab Shim ben Pazi, revius sha'amru, when our Mishnah says the revius, it means chutz min ha'otzah. It means aside from the expense of actually producing oil, meaning you do have to harvest the olives, and then you do need to squeeze them, to press them. So all of that costs some money as well. So if you're left with the revius after the expenses, that's what we mean by revius. Okay, so our Mishnah has spoken about a case of shataf nohar zesav, that a river has uprooted olive trees. So now we're going to apply, we've been talking in terms of who owns the olives, but says the Gemara, there's another fundamental issue that needs to be dealt with, and that's an issue in Isra Vahetu. Forget about Dine Mamanus. An issue in Isra Vahetu, the first 3 years you plant a tree, the fruits are Arla, the Rasa Bahana. How do you count the early years when a tree has been uprooted and has been replanted somewhere else? Amar Ula Amar Ish Lakish, Lo Shanu Ela Shenekru Begusheyen. The din in our Mishnah is only if the olive trees were uprooted with the karka that's around them, meaning when you pull up a tree, so very often all the ground that the tree is attached to comes up with the tree, because since those trees can continue to live with the gush hakarka, with that clod of earth that's around the tree, they're not considered new saplings, not considered new trees, and they're going to be pata from arla. And we're talking about that it's after 3 years from the and even when it was picked up with the cloud of earth, the din of Yachloku is only after 3 years from the time that the river pulled them up, because in that amount of time the Balakarka Kataina, even if I would have planted new trees without the gush, the perus would have already been mutar b'achila. Aval b'toch shalosh hakol shel balazesim, but within 3 years all the perus belong to the balazesim, to the owner of the trees, and not to the balakarka. Why? To amalei, the balazesim could tell the balakarka, i'at natat, if you would have planted during that time, so b'toch shalosh mi'av achalta, you had no way to be able to get olives to grow in your field that you would have been allowed to eat during this time. The earliest date that you could have had olives to eat is after 3 years. So for the first 3 years, it all goes to the balazesim. Says the Gemara, but wait, v'lei malei, why can't the balakarka say to the balazesim, I have a zchus in the peros even within 3 years, because if I would have planted my own trees, well, after 3 years, I would then be able to eat all of it. Now, after 3 years, I only have the right to half of it. So I'm obviously splitting with you that which I could have had all for myself. So you're right, within 3 years, I would have had nothing. So you should split with me that which you think should belong all to yourself. So because of that question, the Gemara has to re-explain the Mishnah. Elikiyasa Ravin, so no, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar Reish Lakish, he said in the name of Reish Lakish that Lo Shanu Ela Shenekru Begusheyen. The Mishnah is only talking about the idea that Yachloku, that they're going to split the olives, is only if it was uprooted together with the Gush HaKarka, the Ubitoch Shalosh, and it's only on the peros that grow within 3 years. Avaliachar Shalosh HaKol Balakarka. So we flip it. After 3 years, everything's going to belong to the Balakarka, to Amalek, because the Balakarka could tell the Balazesim, if I would have planted my own trees, after 3 years, don't you think I would have been able to eat all of them? And therefore, right now, I should still be Zocha in all of the peros. So after 3 years, the Balakarka gets everything, because that's what he could have gotten had he planted his own trees. Frak the Gemara, but now let's ask it in the reverse. V'lei malei, let the balazesim tell the balakarka, the owner of the tree should tell the guy whose land the trees landed in, i'at natata, if you would have planted your own trees, b'toch shalosh lav achalta, and within 3 years you wouldn't have eaten anything. Hashak achalta palga ba'adai, but now you get to eat half of the peros within the first 3 years. So after the first 3 years, I should be able to split whatever's growing on those trees, even though in a chinami, had you planted, you would have been able to get everything. So says the Gemara, Mishum to Amar Lei, the Balakarka could tell the Balazesim, the fact that I divide with you within the first 3 years is because I lose out. If I would have planted trees in the first 3 years, have a katini, the Eitzim would be very small, the Zarana, Tchiusaihu Slik of Yarka, and I would have been able to plant other types of vegetables underneath them. But because I had to deal with these very large trees coming into my property and taking up a large amount of space in my property, I couldn't plant anything else. And therefore, I deserve the half of the peros that I get in those first 3 years. That's compensation for what I couldn't do in my field since these trees were dumped into my field. So it's not that I'm only gaining out of this. So Tana, the Brisa said, Amar Allah, Zeseh Ani Notel. If the Balazesim says to the Balakarka, you know what, I want my trees back. Ein shomen lo. We do not listen to him. The trees stay in the karka. My taima, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We don't want the Eretz Yisrael to have trees uprooted. That doesn't look good for Eretz Yisrael. Am Rabbi Yirmi Gonda, Tzricha Rabba. That's why we need an Adam Gadol like Rabba, an Adam Gadol to say something like this. If Rabbi Yochanan would not have said such a thing, we never would have said such a thing. Misvara, this is the kind of statement that it's Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that you need the likes of Rabbi Yochanan to say. The Ritva says that had Rabbi Yochanan not said the reason of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we would have thought that the reason that he's not allowed to take his trees is because the Balakarka is will say that it's already weakened his land. And even in Chutz La'aretz, this din would be nohig. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan has to point out. No, this is a din related to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is going to now quote another statement that Rabbi Yochanan made, and Rabbi Yirmiyah commented about how brilliant it was and how we never would have figured it out without Rabbi Yochanan. Tananasam, we have a Mishnah Maseches Demai. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mekabel Sedei Avosav Min Anachri. Rabbi Yehuda says someone who is Mekabel a Sedei Avosav, we'll have to see what that term means, from a guy to work as a sharecropper and to get half of the to get half of the crop as wages. So Maaser V'Nosinlo, he first has to take off of the maestros from whatever grows in the karka, and then he can give the Nachri his chelek. He cannot first divide the produce and then only take the maestros from his own chelek. He has to take maestros from all of it, and then he gives the Nachri his chelek. So Savrua, my stay of osav, we assumed, what does stay of osav mean? Eretz Yisrael. That's just a code word for Eretz Yisrael. V'maikar lu stay of osav. Why do we call it stay of osav? Because who are the avos? Stay Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. These are the fields that belong to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. But not the father of the Mekabel of the Aris himself. It means the fathers of the Jewish people. V'kasavar Rabbi Yehuda holds, ein kinyan l'nachri b'Eretz Yisrael lafkia mihan meiser, that a nachri doesn't have enough of a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael to take away the chiyuv of trumas ha'meisros. So the Yisrael has to be mafrish all of the meisros from all of the produce in the field, even the part that's going to belong to the nachri. And mekabel kechocher dami, someone who is an aris in the field is like a farmer who's mekabel the field for X amount of wages per year, so X amount of produce per year. Machocher bein aved bein lo aved by yisurim meitzanay, just like a farmer, whether he works in the field and it grows a lot of produce, or if he doesn't, and he has to pay from other produce that he has because it doesn't grow anything. Either way, he has to take meiser from the grain and then only afterwards give it to the balakarka, the chiporeach of asodami, because it's considered as if he's being porea achov, saaf mekabel nami, and aris also, chiporeach of asodami, it's as if he's being porea achov, and therefore, ma'aser v'nosinlo, he has to take the maestros first, and then he gives the nachri his chelek. So I'm there of Kadalar of Papi, Varmilo the Rav Zvid, Ella Hadatanya, according to that explanation, how we can explain the following braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mekabel Sdei Avosav, Mimetzik Nachri. If a person is Mekabel Sdei Avosav from a Nachri who is a Ganav and who stole the field from his fathers, and the person is now, the Jew is now accepting to be an Aris, to be a sharecropper, well, Karka is in an Exela. So the Nachri is not Kona with his Gzela. So everything is Chayv and Maestros. So Ma'aser V'nosinlo, the Aris has to take the Maestros first on all of the Tavua in the land and then give the Nachri his chelik in the tvua. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda holds ein kinyan l'nachri b'eretzo lefkia mian meiser, and he has a din like a chokher, my irya meitzik, afilu ein meitzik nami. Why do we have to make it that the guy stole the land, and that's why it's still chayv and meisros, because the guy doesn't have a kinyan in the land, since it's karkas ein and exelos. Forget about karkas ein and exelos. A guy doesn't have a kinyan in the land, period. Because the guy doesn't have a kinyan to be mafkia mian meiser. Shouldn't that be the reason that anyway you have to take meisros and all of it, even if it wasn't so something so nefarious, you know, that he went and he stole the land? So Elulio, we have to say that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Yesh Kinyan L'Nachri B'Eretz Yisrael Lafkia Mian Meiser, that a guy, if he's Kona land legitimately in Eretz Yisrael and he gives it to a Jew as a sharecropper, or it would be Potter from Meiser. The guy's chelek would be Potter from Meiser. Umakabel lav kecholcher dami, and someone who's makabel a field by resource is not like a cholcher, and the chelek of the tvua that he gives to the guy is not a payment of a chov that he's doing. It's that's the chelek of the nachri. It mamish belongs to the nachri, and the aris never had any ownership of that chelek, so he has no obligation whatsoever to take maisos from that chelek. Aye, so then how come we said he did? Because we misunderstood the case. We're not talking about a case where it was land in Eretz Yisrael. No, my stay avosav. What do we mean by stay avosav? That you get stay avosav from the nachri, ba'arisos, and they have to take maisos from his chelek. What it means is stay avosav mamish, not Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. It means the Aris's forefathers owned this land, and the nachri stole the land. So the chachamim make a knas on the son who's yored to the field as a sharecropper, that he's got to take the maestros even from the part that belongs to the nachri. The Rabbanan made a knas specifically on the son, that he's going to be the one that has to take all the maisos. Since the field is so beloved to him, that's not going to discourage him from going ba'arisos into the field, from becoming the sharecropper on that field. It's worth it for him. He'll be willing to become a sharecropper in the field, knowing that he's going to have to give so much of the field, so much maisos from the field. But it's and he's ready to add and be makabel on himself the loss that's going to take. But Stama, another person who's not from the family that owned this field, lo, the Chum never made a knas that he's going to have to be ma'aser the chelik of the nachri, because then he would never want to take the field by resus in the first place. So says Gemara, what's going on over here? A knas? What did the guy do wrong? They're a victim. This family owned this field. It was stolen from them by a guy. So we're making a knas, and the child wants to come back into the field. Uladidei, the guy who had it stolen from him, the son of the people who had it stolen from him. My time consular Rabbanim. Why did Rabbanim make a knas that he has to take maisos on the whole thing, even the chelik that's going to go to the nachri? What sin did he do? Rabbi Yochanan, kadesh tehei bara biyado, so that it could be very clearly muchsak in the hand of the son, meaning by everyone seeing that the son is going through all this expense in order to keep this field, that he has to be mafresh maestros even from the two of the nachri. He's going to want to buy the field for himself, and he's going to be tarech and add extra money in order to buy the field back for himself and get rid of the nachri from the field. So, and that's what the ultimate goal is: get the nachri out of the field. Amar b'yirmi gonda tzricha rabba. And that's where you say, yeah, that needs an adam gadol to say this. We never would have realized this on our own. That's where we need someone like Rabbi Yochanan to say something like this. So that's the second statement that Rabbi Yochanan made that we thought was could have only been made by Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, once we have this din though of that one guy cannot say to the other one, zeisei ani notel, that I want to take my olive trees back. So the Gemara is going to discuss when someone goes into someone else's field and he starts planting trees, where you can have a similar idea that a guy cannot say, okay, I want my trees back. So itmar hayored tochstei chaveru nuta'a shelo bereshus. Someone goes into someone else's property and he starts planting things without any permission from the bala sada. Amarav shaman lo v'yadal tachtona. We have to assess what the expenses were in planting these trees and what the level of improvement was to the field, how much value was added to the field as a result of these trees, and then the guy who planted it gets the lesser of those two values. We just have to do a simple assessment: how much would a person pay for this job to be done in their field? And that's what you ultimately pay. Amra Papa Vlo Pligi. Rav and Shmuel are actually not arguing at all. Kan Besada Suyalita, the din of Shmuel, how much would a person pay to have this job done, is if it's the type of field where this job would normally be done, where you would hire someone to plant in the field. It's good for planting trees. But Kan, and the din of Rav, that is Besada Shena Suyalita, where we're measuring the shevach of the karka versus the cost of the planting, that's when it's a field that would not be, the trees would normally not be planted in the field. Vahadah Rav lav beferushit mar, and even Rav's din of yadal tachtona, he never really said it explicitly. Ela michlala itmar, we were only able to derive it based on a maisa shahaya. Tehudas l'kamei de Rav, there was a guy that came to Rav with exactly this shayla. You know, a person was yorid l'stei chavero shelo bereshus, he planted trees there, and they came to Rav, and he was tover from the balasada the cost of the shevach of the karka. Karka. So Amrle, Rav said to the Baal Sada, Zil Shumle, go and see how much it's worth and pay him. So Amrle, so the Baal Sada said to Rav, Lobiina, I don't want these trees. I would have planted other things. I would have planted grain. I wouldn't have planted trees in the field. Amrle, Rav says to the Baal Sada, you don't want these trees? Zil Shumle, go and see how much the expense was in the planting, and go see what sort of value was added to your field as a result of the planting. The Adal Tachton and the guy who planted it will get the lesser of those two values. Amrle, the Baal Sada said to Rav, Lo Ba'ina, I don't want these trees at all. Even if I'm going to get a really great deal on trees, I'm not interested in trees. I don't want a really great deal on trees. So, Lesof, Chaziyeh de Gadra v'kamantele. In the end, Rav saw that the guy put up a fence around it, was protecting the trees. So Amrle, so Rav said, Galisa daitach denichalach, it seems like you do want the trees. Zil Shumle, v'yadra al Yona. Now you're going to have to go and assess, and it's going to be Yadol Yona. He's going to be able to get the higher of the two prices. So Itmar, if someone goes into a destroyed house and he rebuilds it without the rishus of the owner of the property, and the yorid says to the balachurva, I want to take my stones and my wood that I built in your churva. Rav Nachman Amar Shomanlo, so we listen to him. He could take his stones and his wood. Rav Sheish Samar ain't Shomanlo. He can't take his stones and his wood. So Meisver, Rav Shumim Lialomer, says if a person is yorid the churvasa shel chaver and he builds it without rishus and he says I want the materials back, beshamayom, this is in fact a machlokes beshamayom beshilal beshamayom shomlo beshilal omrim ain shomlo. So leimer of Nachman damer kebeshamay. So when Nachman says that he could take his stones and his wood back, he's following the sheet of Beishamai. We never assume that. How could Rav Nachman say the sheet of Beishamai? We know the rule is Beishamai Makom Beisilel Ein Mishnah. It's Brachos Daf Lamed Vav. Beishamai Makom Beisilel is Ein Mishnah. So how could it be that he's following the sheet of Beishamai? So the Gemara answers, Hu Damar Kiyai Tanur. Rav Nachman holds like the Tan of the following Brisa. Titanya, the following Brisa tells us, Shomen Lo Div Rav Shimon Ben Elazar. The Rav Shimon Ben Elazar says he gets to take his wood and his trees back and his stones back. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Beishamayom Shomlo Beisalom Rein Shomlo. And Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with Rav Shimon Ben Elazar and says that no, it's only Shitas Beishamay that Shomlo. So Rav Nachman is not following Beishamay, he's following Rav Shimon Ben Elazar, who thinks that there was no machlokas between Beishamay and Beisalom on this issue, and he thinks he's passing like everyone. So May Haviyallah, how do we paskin when the Yored wants to take all of the building materials back? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yaakov says in the name of Rav Yochanan that Bebayis Shomelo Besada Ain Shomelo. If he went and he built a churva in his bayis, so then we do listen to him. He can take it back, but in a field where he went and he planted trees, we do not listen to him. He cannot take the trees back. Besada Mai Taima Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We don't want to uproot trees from Eretz Yisrael. V'Yigadavni, and some say another reason, Mishum Kach Shada'ara, that the trees often have sapped the land of all of its nutrients and have weakened the karka. So if he's going to take the trees, then you're really costing the bala karka by through the planting. It's not just, oh, I'm taking back what I did. It doesn't really work that way. You're doing worse than taking back what you did, because the karka is worse for the wear. It's not as good as it was before. So that's only once they've taken root, the Ritva points out. Obviously, if the trees haven't had a chance to take root, so then you're not going to say that they've weakened the karka. My binai, what's the difference between the two reasons, whether the reason is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or the reason is Kach Shada'ara? Ike binayu, Chutz Laretz. A very simple nafkamina. What would be the din in Chutz Laretz? If it's Mishum Kach Shada'ara, I'm not allowed to weaken your land in Chutz Laretz either. That's a din imamnes issue. But if it's about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's about keeping Eretz Yisrael strong and good and not uprooting trees in Eretz Yisrael, so then obviously it's only going to apply in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now the Mishnah moves to a different topic, a discussion between a maskir and a socher, when the maskir can throw the socher out and end the terms of the end the lease agreement. A maskir buys the chavero b'imosag shamim. A person rents a house to his friend during the winter time, and the maskir wants to stop the schirus and get the socher out of the house. Eino yachol lotzio min achag v'yada Pesach. From Sukkot until Pesach, he cannot throw him out of the house. That's the closest to a Daf Yomi coincidence we'll have today. We're now between Sukkot and Pesach. V'yimosachama, if it's during the summertime that he rented him the house, so from Pesach until Sukkot, shloshim yom. So for 30 days, he can't throw him out of the house. So the Gemara is going to discuss, why would there be a difference? I would say, mina Pesach v'yad Sukkot, you can't throw him out. The deal was summertime. So you can't throw him out for the entire summertime. So we'll have to see. Ubekrachim, if it was in a large city that has large markets, and therefore a lot of people want to live there, there's high demand on housing, echad yimosachamim v'echad yimosachashamim, shnei masur chodesh. Can't throw him out for 12 months, because it's going to be too difficult for him to find new housing within that time. If the Miri points out, and if you let him know, and when that time comes, he doesn't leave, so you're able to get him out, even be mosach shamim, and even if it's the middle of a terrible storm. Meaning, once you've given the proper warning, and then the guy's got to get out, and if he doesn't, that's on him. Ubechanuyos, and if you are renting him a store, echad ayaros v'echad krachim, whether it's a small city or a very large city, you're not allowed to throw him out until shnei masur chodesh, till 12 months, because very often when you start a business, you sell on credit, and there are people that will owe you money, and they need to know where to find you. If the store disappears, they're not going to be able to find you to pay you for that which they owe you. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, if it's a bakery, or it's a dye shop, so shalosh shalim, then it's 3 years, because nachtomim and sabayim sell with a lot of hakafa, with a lot of credit for a long period of time, much more so than other stores, and therefore if he's going to have to rent somewhere else, they're not going to be able to find him. It's going to be really bad for business. He's really going to lose out a lot. Okay, now the Mishnah said that there's a difference between Yemos HaGeshamim, where from Chag ad Pesach he can't throw him out, versus Yemos HaChama, where it's 30 days. So we're first working with the assumption that Yemos HaGeshamim means that it was you rented him the house for the winter, and Yemos HaChama means you rented him the house for the summer. So Maishna Yemos HaGeshamim, why is it that when you rent in the house for the winter, the Chiyagar in Ishbesa, when a person rents a house, Yemos HaGeshamim, Agar Lekuli Yemos HaGeshamim, we make the assumption that the deal was that he's supposed to be able to stay there for the entire winter season, Yemos HaChamanami, the Chiyagar in Ishbesa, Lekuli Yemos HaChama, Agar. So why don't we say the same thing about Yemos HaChama? He's renting the house, it should be for the entire summer season. Why is it only 30 days? So Ella, we have to say, no, what the Mishnah means is that you were socha the bias stam. You didn't say how long the period of the schirus would be. So in the Yemos HaChama, where there are a lot of houses available, you can throw them out after 30 days, because a stam schirus is 30 days. But Yemos HaGeshamim, when it comes to the winter time, even though it was a stam schirus, so l'chor it should only be 30 days, but you can't throw him out. He's not going to find another house to rent, and therefore you can't throw him out even after 30 days. Ema Seifa, so if we're talking about that you're not allowed to throw him out during the winter time because it's so hard to find another house, so it says in the end of the Mishnah, Bekrachim, if it's in a large city, summertime, wintertime, it's always 12 months. V'ilu malu layomei schirus, v'yemos ha-geshamim, if the days of the schirus are over, those 12 months end during the wintertime, mapakle, apparently you're allowed to throw him out. If we're so concerned he's not going to have a house to live in, if the rental is over during the winter time, we should still be concerned he's not going to have anywhere to live. So because of that, the Gemara says there must be something else. It must be a different explanation of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, when the Mishnah says shloshim yom and shnei masur chodesh lahodia katani, we're letting him know not how long he's allowed to live there before you throw him out, but rather how much warning you have to give him before you throw him out. If you are masker bayis l'chaveru stam without setting any time on the schirus, ein yachal otzio b'yomos ha-geshamim mechag v'yad ha-pesach, that a person is not allowed to get him out of the house during the winter time, which is from Sukkot until Pesach, because you're not going to find other houses to rent. unless you give him 30 days warning in advance, meaning before the winter season started, so that he'll realize. Only if you let him know until Tesvav Elul, which is 30 days before Chag HaSukkos, then you're allowed to throw him out during the winter time. If you gave him a 30-day advance notice before the winter time started. Tanya Nami Hachi, and we have a Brisa that says just like this, Kishamru Shloshim, Kishamru Shem Asar Chodesh, when we say 30 days, or when we say that in the large cities or in the stores, it's 12 months, Lo Amra Lo Dio, that you need to give him that amount of warning before you throw him out. Kshem Shem Maskir Tzarech Lo Dio, and just like when you rent someone a house, you have to let him know, you have to give him warning, Kach Socher Tzarech Lo Dio. If the socher is going to want to move, he should let the maskir know. He says, I would have found a very trustworthy person to put in the house if I would have known that you wanted to leave. Once the days of his schiris go into the winter season, he's not allowed to do anything to him until Pesach time. The Mishnah says that if he lets him know 30 days before the Mosag Shem, he can throw him out during the winter time. Why does Rav Asi say that? Is that one day of winter has already begun? He's not able to throw him out. If you gave him 29 days warning before the winter time, so that's it, you lost it. It's not like you could throw him out a day later, or a week later, or a month later. Now you have to wait all the way until Pesach. If the maskir wants to raise the prices, marbe, he could raise the prices even if he doesn't give him a 30-day notice. Amalei Rav Nachman, that's like a person who's ochez bebeitzav until he gives him his talis, meaning you're mugging him. I'm not going to throw you out. I'm just going to charge you $1 million. What do you mean? That's the same as throwing him out. So you have to let him know in advance. No, the case is that it's in line with the market. He's not raising the prices out of nowhere. It's in line with the market rate. So says Mar Pshita, the Gemara is going to discuss different cases where you can throw him out without letting him know. Pshita nafale besa, if the house that the maskir lives in falls down, so the maskir could get the socher out after the days of the schiras are over, even without warning in advance. Amalei lo adifta minai, you shouldn't be. I don't have to treat you better than I treat myself, so I need to have a house as well. Zabnei, if the maskir sold the house, the rented house to somebody else, or use morishit to his children, or yave b'matana, or he gave it as a matana, and the new balabais wants to get the socher out of there without letting him know. Amalei lo adifta megaver that the socher could say, look, he was able to sell to you, to give to you, to be mortgaged to you, whatever rights he had in the house. He didn't have the right to throw me out yet, so you don't have the right to throw me out yet either. Kalei lebrei, if the masker married off his son and he now wants to use that house for his child, chazin neyave efshalo duwe, so we have to see, could he have let him known ibayle leduwe, then he should have let him know. V'lo, but if there was no way to let him know, then amrale lo adifti minoy, he could say, you're no better than me, and therefore you got to get out of the house. Why shouldn't my kid be able to live here? Who gavra d'zavin arba d'chamra? Someone had bought a boat full of barrels of wine. Lashkach duchto lo suve, and he couldn't find a place to put the barrels. Amrle la yitza. So he asked a certain woman, Islach duchto lo guri, do you have any place to rent to me that I could put down these barrels of wine? Amrle lo. She said, no. Azal kitcha. So he went and he was makadish the isha. Yavle duchto la aliyah. And then all of a sudden, space appeared, and she had a place to put the barrels of wine. So Azalabese, he went to his house, Kazala Gita, Shadala. He wrote a get and he sent to the get, and he was Megarisher. Azla Ihi, Agrasha Kulai, she went and she hired porters to Mineuve, and she paid them from the wine that they were moving, apikteos v'bishvila, and took all the barrels and left them in a path, in a public path. Amar Avuna Brei Rav Yishua, Avuna Brei Rav Yishua said that the woman was correct, and about that guy we say kasharasa keni asalo gumulo yashav brosho. He did such a trick; he deserves everything he got. So lomi bayichatzel kaimela agra. You don't even need to be told that the woman is allowed to get rid of those barrels if it's a chatzer that's not omed to be rented, and this man wasn't interested in renting it. Alfilu chasu tekaim laagra. Amalei lekuli amenichle lugari lechol onichle didamis alaiki ari arba. You know what? I'm interested in renting it to anybody else. I'm not interested in renting it to you because I think you're like a wild beast that I'm not interested in you. So since you did shaloka hogan, I don't want to deal with you anymore. I don't care that you're willing to pay me for this chiras. I want you out. That you need 3 years for nachtamin and tzabayin. Tana mipnei shekef and meruba. So the Bryce explains the reason nachtamin and tzabayin are different is because they sell on credit for extended periods of time. So in order for their customers to find them, to pay them back, we need to give them a little more leeway that they're going to have 3 years before they get thrown out. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom.